Okay, and here we are back with Harry, and we've looked at a lot of pictures and learned quite a bit. Anything else that you can tell us about Igor Witkowski in this program? And we'll go back to the membership thing. I just want to make sure, because I'm sending you my video again, which has actually the black and white footage and then a lot of still pictures in the video itself, so you can see both. And it's only about 8 minutes long, but it's stunning. I also found you some Antarctic color film taken by the Operation High Jump air crews who flew over the warm water lakes and stuff there. So, and a bunch of still pictures.
I'll look at that tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. No hurry. No.
When I get off the phone with you, I'm going to bed.
I don't blame you. All right.
Now, the rest of the stuff we talked about, I'm not going to release just yet. However, come Monday, I think, I'll have a bunch more photos up on our website. Right now, I don't have a lot of photos up on the website because I was waiting until this program. I wanted you to have the first shot at the photos.
Come
Monday, I'll have 60, 70 photos up there. Incidentally, I'm changing phones here because this battery's getting a little soft.
Okay. Now, you're on.
Okay,
you're on.
I'm still on. Okay.
You're on. Now,
well, the battery's getting soft on that phone.
For you folks who would like to join Shark Hunters, and I urge all of you to do it, it's just fun. It doesn't matter if you're into World War II or not. It's fabulous to read real history. You can call or you can email. Either way, email sharkhunters@earthlink.net, sharkhunters@earthlink.net, or call 352-637-2917, 352-637-2917 to sign up. And it's only $50 a year. You get the KDB magazine, bi-monthly magazine. I think I said monthly, but it's bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly now, electronic. And the reason I went to buy, it had been nine times a year, but I moved it to bi-monthly for a while. My house is falling apart. I'm working 12 hours a day at Shark Hunters. I don't have time to mow the grass. I got to pay the kid down the street to come mow my grass, even though I've got a brand new lawnmower. I just don't have the time. So
Now look for books under Harry's name, because when you join or if you renew your membership, you get to choose any of the books on that list, from Hitler in Argentina, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, all down to U-boat books, just extraordinary histories of World War II, Volume 7, Volume 8, 8 volumes of U-boat books, and then you have the two books on the Luftwaffe, or I guess there were Western flyers too.
Right.
Adolf Galland is there. Did you know I think I did tell you this. I sent Adolf Galland, through his wife, a video cassette of 1930s early Walt Disney Mickey Mouse cartoons. And if you look at Galland's Messerschmitt, or BF 109, he's got a picture of Mickey Mouse right below the cockpit on the side of the plane. He loved Mickey Mouse.
Smoking a cigar and holding a six gun.
That's it.
Right, yeah. He was a member of Shark Hunters until he died. He died on the operating table. I guess he had a heart problem.
Suspicious. I never...
So many times, things like that. But he was a great guy. And after the war was over, he was one of the three Luftwaffe greats who went to Argentina to help rebuild the Argentine Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
He and Hans Ulrich Rudel, probably the greatest pilot of all time, he's a Stuka pilot, and he sank a battleship, a cruiser, a bunch of other small ships, destroyed more than 500 Soviet tanks.
Incredible. There's been a documentary or two made about him. Incredible what that man did. And you've got to remember that a Stuka, when you're diving on a ship, everything that ship has is aimed at you and firing as fast as they can. And you got nerves of steel, and you go straight down, and you drop your bomb, and then you pull out. And Stukas were not the fastest thing in the air.
No, after about midpoint in the war, they were sitting ducks. They had to have heavy fighter protection, and even that didn't help them sometimes. But he wound up down there, and I saw his house when I was down there. He rebuilt the Argentine. He was one of the ones who rebuilt the Argentine Air Force. He was good friends with Juan Perón. And then the other guy was Werner Baumbach, who was the Staffelkapitän, commander of the Kampfgeschwader KG-200, which was the one that had all the spook works for him. All the experimental planes was in KG-200. And the three of them rebuilt the Argentine Air Force. Unfortunately for Werner Baumbach, the Lancaster bomber he was flying, training some Argentine pilots, crashed into the Rio de la Plata, and he was not able to get out. He drowned. Mm. So, but anyhow, that's some of those. You know, the connection between Germany, the Third Reich Germany, and South America, primarily Argentina, was so solid. You know, the Argentine army, their uniforms were all the same as the Wehrmacht. Huh. Their guns, their weapons, their equipment, the mm-hmm. same as the Wehrmacht used. Chile is the same.
That's amazing.
Big, big presence down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm still drinking my Pepsi here to keep my throat clear. I'll probably not be able to sleep for a while.
You should have hot chocolate.
Yeah, that would put me out in a hurry. Anyhow.
All right, so let's look to the future here. Now, are you planning? Now, did you have things from Witkowski that you can't share tonight?
Yeah.
At some point, does he agree to another meeting? There, I guess he's got a book out. I'm not sure if it's in English.
Oh, on the Wonder Weapons?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where you get it. You probably can get it on Amazon. It's one hell of a book. The truth about the Wonder Weapons.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is they really were Wonder Weapons. This is no joke.
They had some incredible stuff. He first published it as Pravda der Wunderwaffen, which means the truth about the Wonder Weapons, but now he's got it in English, and I have a copy given to me by one of our members, Dr. Charlie Ellis, who's a psychiatrist, and he wrote inside the flyleaf, "Stolen from Dr. Charlie Ellis," and then he gave me the book. But it's a huge book, and Witkowski is just an incredible researcher. So I'm going back to Europe again September, October. I will probably visit with him. The problem is I'm going to be in South Germany and Austria, and he's in Warsaw, which is a huge jump up the road there.
Mm-hmm.
But and next time maybe I won't have the problem with the taxi driver. I think I told you when I got off the airplane, walking out the door, and some guy came over and, "Hey, do you need a taxi?" I said, "Yeah, fine, I need a taxi. Come here. And he's walking me over towards taxi, and a policeman showed up and yelled at him in Polish. He took off running, and he looked at me and said, "That man was not approved."
That was a potential attempted abduction.
I don't know what it was.
Or maybe it was a meeting that somebody wanted to have with you, a special meeting.
I guess I'll never know. No. That cop popped up and probably saved me a lot of headaches and grief.
I would say.
And a lot of strange things are happening. As we know, our friend Clark has gone silent.
I don't understand it. I don't understand.
And then my friend Annette, who we'll talk about in a moment, who was she lives literally one block away from Monaco. It looks like it's the same place. It's just that the borders, and you walk across, and it's less money to live where she's at. 2 days after I spent 8 days over there with her meeting, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but mm-hmm. 2 days after I left, the electricity was turned off in her flat, not by the power company for failure to pay or anything like that, but by the apartment building itself. They shut her electric off, and she's trying to go to court to make them turn it back on again. So maybe none of these things are related. And then we look at the woman who sat down right behind me in the empty dining hall.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
Is she going to visit you? Was that the game now?
Who?
The spy. Didn't you invite her over?
Oh, No. I just moved to another part of the restaurant.
Well, you moved to where the elliptical microphones were. You see, that was the ruse. They had to get you into the corner.
Get me to sit underneath the parabolic mics.
That's right.
Yeah. You think, and when I was there last year collecting information on the assassination of Haider, I was told when I got back, I was told that there were two secret agents, a man and a woman, who were tailing me the whole time, and they even sat at the table next to me every morning for breakfast. I never spotted them. You'd think they would have paid for my meal.
You'd
but
think.
They didn't.
Huh.
Damn cheap spies.
I tell you. Everybody's on
I got to be a little more observant.
Yeah, you got so much on your mind. There's so much in there. How many books do you think you have now waiting to be somehow manifested on this plane?
Oh, how many yet to come out?
Yeah, you're working on several books simultaneously all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, well, U-Boat 7 and 8 have just come out now.
Uh-huh.
We just got a shipment of U-Boat 7 in yesterday. U-Boat 8 will be coming in on Monday. We got another one that's it's a whole new series called U-Boat War in Pictures. It's going to be the most complete compendium of U-Boat history anywhere, partly because we've got the history that nobody else can get, because we got a lot of it from the guys who actually rode the boats. And we've got photos of the boats, photos of the skippers, photos of the crew, the ships they sank, etc. And so volume one, it's all ready to go, except they're having a little trouble with the size of the photo on the cover. It's not fitting into their scheme, so I have to go and redo that, but that'll be out. And I'm starting to work on U-Boat 9. That's about a third of the way done.
Wow.
It's all in my spare time,
Yeah, of course, spare time. How about getting the rights to somehow market Witkowski's book? Add that to your inventory.
Oh, I think, he's got the rights himself. He markets through Amazon, but, if he wants us to advertise his book.
I think you should put it in your inventory if I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
I can talk to him about it. He's a really decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it can help him sell his book, well, why not? What the heck?
Absolutely.
It's one hell of a book. It's 8.5 by 11, 400 and something pages. The thing weighs about 10 pounds.
And lots of pictures?
Yeah, and sketches.
Wow.
I
need a copy of that book.
Okay, well...
all right, I'm going to go on Amazon and
okay.
Give me the name of it again, please.
Truth. Hang on a second. Let me go into the other room and take a look at it.
It's in English. It's all in English.
Oh, yeah. It's in English.
Witkowski. This would be a book that a lot of you would be interested in. Witkowski.
Oh, yeah. He, like I say, he's one hell of a good researcher, mm-hmm. writer. Here it is, The Truth About the Wunderwaffe.
Okay.
And let's see if it says anything in the flyleaf here. Igor Witkowski has got a picture of one of their vertical takeoff fighters on the front page. RVP Press, New York.
What press?
RVP. Richard Victor.
Got it.
Whatever. 95 Morton Street, ground floor, New
All
York.
Right. RV Press. Okay. And Wunderwaffe, Wunderwaffe.
That's correct. The Truth About the Wunderwaffe.
Okay. All right. That's a book that, that's a must. Got to get that one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It goes into, let's see the table of contents here. Oh, and pictures galore, sketches, drawings.
Yeah.
Let's see what they're talking about. It's stolen from Charles Ellis. That's cute. The V1, V2, V3, the Rhine boat, the ME-262, which is the jet fighter, the 163, the rocket fighter,
yeah,
all sorts of them, the death rays, the concept for conventional weapons, turbulent, development of guided missiles, Feuer Lily, Waterfall, etc., the Henschel 117, and the Kriegsscheide, and here's a section about the Bell, the physics of the Bell. It's a great book.
Yeah, that sounds
like I say, he's the best there is in that field.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
And believe it, coming from an egotistical son of a gun like me, that's a big compliment, because he's damn good.
You're not egocentric. Everybody puts their name on their own shirts. It's not a problem.
I was called a megalomaniac by a guy in a book. I didn't even know what a megalomaniac was until I looked it up, and turns out, yep, that's an egotist.
Well, most of the time, those are reverse projection descriptions of the people making the allegations. So.
Well, yeah, in psychology, they call that projection.
That's right.
And this is a guy who had been a member of Shark Hunters, and then we helped him get famous, and he just he got his own TV series out of it and everything called... what the hell was it called? Deep Sea Detectives.
Oh, okay.
But that's another story.
Yeah, that's another one. Let's remind everybody, join Shark Hunters. Let's push this membership up. What are you, 8 or 9,000 now?
We're almost 8,100.
All right, well, let's put it up to 8,500 at least.
Wouldn't
Shark
hurt my
Hunters,
feelings.
SharkHunters at earthlink.net or 352-637-2917.
And to reiterate what I've said before, myself, nobody at Shark Hunters gets a salary at all. I'm an old fart. I get my retirement. Everybody else is volunteer. The money that comes in helps our research, helps us getting the word out.
And some of you may well have information and skills that you could donate, involve, you have nothing to do, you're retired, or what, thinking, whatever, you could help.
Right.
I mean, they could always welcome the help, I'm sure.
And I could use a German translator. I just came into about 700 pages, I think, large pages of stuff from Germany, 1933, that I need translated into English.
Wow.
I suppose I could run it through a Google translator and then try to clean it up so it doesn't come out, you know, throw me from the train, a kiss.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that.
Let's talk about the idea of a trip to Antarctica.
Right. That was why I was in Monte Carlo. I'm going to try to tread carefully here because there's things I'm not supposed to say and names I'm not supposed to give, so I hope I don't catch hell. My partner over there, her name is Annette, and we're not going into last names.
Mm-hmm.
She worked hard, really hard, to set up appointments and everything because she's the one who's doing most of the work on putting together an Antarctic expedition. And she put blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. She worked very hard. So when I got to Monte Carlo, she gave me the grand tour on foot. Mm-hmm. And remember, I had a broken back. I didn't know it at the time. But Monte Carlo would be the size of Texas if you could flatten it out. Everything is up and down. I mean, you're talking 40, 50 stairs on a staircase on a public street, and then two or three more staircases above that. Everything is up and down.
Yeah.
So
odd place.
It's a beautiful place, and one thing I love, you know, I'm a former Grand National Stock Car racer.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you couldn't go 10 or 15 minutes without hearing that deep, throaty rumble of a Ferrari coming by. There's nothing sounds like a V12 Ferrari. Those
apparently,
things are incredible.
The numbers of millionaires per capita there is quite high.
Oh, yeah. You got to be. They built a new skyscraper, beautiful building, apartment building, and the penthouse is actually the top four floors, and it's got a water slide to where you can slide down into the swimming pool,
uh-huh,
and you can own that penthouse for only $350 million Yankee dollars.
That's it? Wow.
That's
you can buy
all.
Adolf Hitler's Bariloche beautiful home for only $40
million. That's right. But there's no water slide there.
No, you could probably imagine putting one in, though, I would think. I don't know what they'll sell that house for, but it is available, or at least it was.
Well, they say it's available, but, Jeff, it was built in 1945, in the closing moments of the war by Mercedes to be a resort for Mercedes executives. But nobody lived there until Hitler moved in.
Right.
And then after Hitler and Eva Braun moved out, we think 1955, because the area had become known
popular
for tourism, nobody's lived there since. It's been sitting there empty all this time.
And the big table, the big beautiful table, is still there. You can see pictures of this on sharkhunters.com.
Right, to go to previous tours. Yeah, that's the one you remember I picked the lock and let myself in.
I remember.
I took those pictures inside, never touched anything. We never take anything. We never mess with anything, because then you're nothing but a vandal. But I took a lot of pictures, but it's been for sale forever, $40 million, and
it's a beautiful home.
It's a beautiful home. It's a big place, and there are several guest houses around there.
Yeah, buildings around it, yes.
Yeah, and there's other facilities, like there's a building to generate the electricity. Typical German technology, they rerouted a teeny little bit of a stream that went right underneath this house, and it's got a paddle wheel generator in there.
Wow.
Another small building for the cooking, so you don't heat up the house. And a lot of property. It's, you know, if you're a multimillionaire, $40 million is a fair price, and it's just magnificent.
Well, you could probably buy it for half that now in this economy, the Argentine economy. Oh.
Everybody's economy is going to hell.
Yeah, well, that's no accident either.
No. When I was in Argentina in 2014, the peso was 6 pesos to the dollar. Mm-hmm. It's now 15 pesos to the dollar. And their annual inflation is like 35%, which is not as bad as Venezuela, which is 100-something percent.
Pretty grim, though.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right, next... We got a break coming up here, but next trip that you're taking, that you go to Argentina, you got to get hold of the guy. We don't want to mention his name. We've got to do that. That guy has got a story. We've got to get that story. That's crucial.
Yeah.
Hope you can do it.
That's going to be a hike to go get him, because that's a long way from anything, but we'll go get him.
Right. Yeah, I think so. All right. Remember Frank Buck? Bring him back alive.
Bring him back alive, right, yeah.
All right.
And he had a circus and he had a radio show back in the 40s.
Did he?
Yes, he did. And the name of the show was Bring Him Back Alive.
Couldn't be anything else, but very good.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll be right back. Hold on, Harry. Go have some intimates, and we will continue with more after this. Hardest working folks I have ever known, and he's up past his bedtime, so we're going to get him out of here as soon as possible. Just hang in another 20 minutes and you're gone. Listen, this I'm looking at Project R-I-E-S-E, RISA, I guess it's the OWL Project.
R-I-E-S-E, RISA.
Okay. Now, if you go look up OWL Mountain, just do a search, OWL Mountain. you will find one of the most amazing of the underground German facilities, Owl Mountains, plural. Go look and look under images, look at the tunnels, read. There were six enormous different underground complexes. There was a big
factories.
Castle, big factories, you name it. There are a lot of myths about it, but it was going to be clearly at that time the world's most advanced, sophisticated underground, virtually impregnable fortress. It was.
Yeah, and they used up just about all the cement that was in the world.
They used a lot. They used all of their. If you also look at the concentration labor camps, they were basically in the area. That's where they got most of their labor. Now, I'm not saying concentration camp labor is fine for anybody. That's not cool, but that's the way it went.
We did it in this country too.
We certainly put the Japanese away. A lot of them
died. German prisoners of war too.
German POWs made them work in the fields in the south, picking crops. Yeah, look, everybody's equally culpable in war. If anything can be said about Germany, there was still in the German military, in the Prussian military, chivalry. There were principles, there were honors. Not so with the Russians. Not so with the British, the butchers. Not so with the ignorant Americans, they all fought heroically, make no mistake about it. They followed orders and they died, a lot of them. But this is like World War I. What the hell? For what? The Germans won World War I. They didn't lose. They were forced into a peace treaty situation, but they didn't lose the war. They didn't give up any ground. They weren't conquered. And the Treaty of Versailles was set up specifically, basically, to guarantee World War II would happen. Remember what Churchill said. World War II, in his own biography, was not a war against National Socialism, the Nazis, or anything else. It was not a war against Adolf Hitler. It was a war against Germany and the German people.
Yeah.
Understand that. That's what
Hitler
war
got rid
about.
Of their central bank.
Yeah, and, not supposed to do that. No more interest, no more usury, no more shenanigans.
And look what happened to John F. Kennedy when he said he was going to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank.
And Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi, who are going to start their own gold-backed currencies.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
I'll wait till you're done, and I'll tell you a little more about Monte Carlo.
I'm done. Tell me. Okay. I remember the James Bond movie where he was sitting in Monte Carlo, I think he won some enormous pot.
He always won money. I don't know. I wouldn't bet a dime because I don't win.
Yeah.
If I was to bet whether you and I are talking on the phone right now, I'd lose. I don't know how, but I always lose bets, so I just don't bet anymore.
Well, it's just an alternate reality timeline. Don't worry, Harry. It's okay.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right. With Monte Carlo, we have a happy story with a very unhappy ending. As I say, my contact there, Annette, worked hard, very hard, to get all these things set up for our expedition to Antarctica. She had a big ship lined up. Won't tell you what ship or who owned it. That's another story. But we visited with a guy who has a security program, a security company. They work with the Navy SEALs, et cetera, and he provides security forces, mercenaries. And Annette felt we needed some security people with us, and I asked her why. And she said, in case we're attacked by polar bears. And I said, no, there's no polar bears at the South Pole. There's only penguins. But in case, we had some type of a problem. So we spent some time talking to this guy and his assistant, had a really great time, got all sorts of stuff lined up. Then we visited with a man very, very close to Prince Albert. He, as a matter of fact, broke out of a meeting with the Prime Minister to come visit with us at the Yacht Club fine gentleman, and we were discussing what we needed to do, and everything was green flag up, and we went out to go back to the to my hotel, and she lived about 5 minutes walk from there, and they called a taxi for us, and this, remember, this was at the Yacht Club of Monte Carlo. And we're waiting and waiting, and no cab showed up. So the doorman said, well, I can run you there in our shuttle. So, okay, fine. Run us there in a shuttle. It was a deluxe Maserati sedan. That's their shuttle.
That's so funny.
Yeah, a hell of a nice thing. We had a teleconference with people with Jean-Philippe Cousteau, mm-hmm. and his father, Jacques Cousteau, was a mm-hmm. member of Shark Hunters until he died.
Yeah.
So we had a nice, excuse me, we had a nice chat going with them. We were chatting with two scientists. One was a 20 years of going to Antarctica, and then we talked a Skype conference with a couple of guys in Los Angeles who did 3D film productions for Jean-Philippe Cousteau.
Uh-huh.
We sorry. Every night she had me at another reception, meeting all sorts of important people. We talked to one of these scientists. Talked to him for over an hour and a half, and finally had to tell him that the battery was going dead to get him off the line, but he was just pumped up, ready to go, top of the line, gung-ho. Then he went online to look me up and found what the Spitlickers had to say about me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so he called her the next day, and he's yelling at her, did you know that Cooper's a Nazi and Shark Hunters is a hate group? I'm not a Nazi. I've never been a Nazi. We are not a hate group. Ronald Reagan was a member. But then he went around periodically calling everybody else, and suddenly she wasn't getting any calls back. So what they were able to do, the Spitlickers,
yeah.
didn't take a dime out of my pocket, because mm-hmm. I don't get paid for this anyhow.
Right.
But poor Annette worked hard. And what they've done is stop us from getting more information
yeah.
to get out to other people. We're still going to get our expedition going down there. But
well, you're going to try. And this is something that I've faced for a long time. I have the marvelous researcher, historian as well, Dr. David Duke, on my network, who always
yeah,
does research.
I know David. I had dinner with him a couple of years ago over in Bavaria.
Yeah, he's a wonderful researcher and only uses the information provided by the target of his research. He doesn't say, I think this, I think that. He proves it, he demonstrates it, he quotes them and lets them
right.
basically hang themselves. That's real research. Okay.
Yeah.
So that, and got the great Don Black is on, other people. It's a unique network, okay? I even have Harry Cooper on.
Oh my goodness.
So we try to bring reality into accord with the facts. It's very simple. Now, as far
yeah.
as the South American, the Antarctic expedition is concerned, while you were away, I did a lot of reading. Not hours and hours, but, you know, a couple hours.
Yeah.
And I found that there is so much going on down there. Black ops from all the major powers are there. Nothing happens down there without people knowing. Nothing. You can't
yeah.
go down there and do anything without being tracked, watched, observed, and the works. If you go down there, and I'm not saying don't go, I'm just saying what I told you in private, is
right.
that if you go there, you will only be allowed to see what they will allow you to see. And I'm going to suggest that they're not going to let you see much of anything.
Right.
And I don't mean to be negative. I don't mean to be negative. I'm just telling you, there are so, like Owl Mountain, the Owl, my God, the things that remain to be, that you haven't been able to get to yet.
Right.
Just astonishing up here. So I'm not sure if all that money couldn't be better used. And this is not my decision, folks, doing so many other things. I don't know. Just
well,
my thoughts.
Expeditions to Europe and to South America are $5,000 or $6,000 for 2 weeks, which our angel Jack Goodyear can handle. But down to Antarctica, holy smokers! The ship we were looking at, which has a hospital on board, chopper, etc., $250,000 per week.
Correct. Now you're looking at $1 million+ minimum.
Yeah, we're figuring 1.5.
Yeah, and I'm saying that. Because the Americans are there and the Russians are there, and I think the Americans are probably going to be the worst trouble. They will not let you go anywhere they don't want you to go, and it's dangerous, and you're just not going to find what you'd like to find. And you might find what you'd like to find in some European explorations.
Well, yeah, there's no question about that, you know, because I'm gang verboten.
Right.
I can climb over a fence, and there in Antarctica, everybody, I mean, there's no shrubs to hide behind and no open fields to go across. Everybody can keep an eye on you.
Everything is tracked. Everything is watched. Everything is listened to. You'll be under a microscope. And I'm just wondering out loud if it's not a priority thing that we can move to there are other things that could be done 10 times over for the same amount of money.
and bring me back alive.
We want Cooper alive,
you know? Yeah, me more than anybody.
Yeah, so I don't know, but it's just, those are just my thoughts at this point. And there's no shame at all in changing plans on the basis of practicality. In other words, you will not be able to do what you want to do down there. You will be directed. You will be watched. You will be controlled. And that's the fact.
Boy, I hate that.
Sorry.
But there are other things, too, down, not in Antarctica, but down in South America.
Absolutely.
There are all things along the Patagonian shoreline. There's all sorts of stuff down there that still needs to be discovered.
And there may be some things down there that I don't even want to guess at, there's stuff. Lots of stuff.
Right, and my guide down there, Martin, he's all chomping at the bit to go. My friends in Brazil, right at the bottom of Brazil, they've got places I need to see in Paraguay. And as I told you before, you cannot rent a car in Argentina or thereabouts if you're going to go into Paraguay. They got a terrible crime problem in Paraguay. But these friends of mine who are in Brazil, they go back and forth all the time into Paraguay. So, okay, fine, I'll go down with them and go over. There's a couple very important places I need to see. So
we can
do that on a $5,000-$6,000 budget.
Let me suggest also that if we can find the guy on the boat and just sit him down for an hour or two and get him on tape. Even if it's in Spanish, you can do a voiceover, a dub of it. You can produce a documentary from that guy. Easy. And the pictures of the house that you have, the area, it's so much. That's a documentary I would jump to buy.
Right. Clear a thing for your listeners, he's the guy, I won't say names, but when we were there in 2009, I had a group, and we rented a boat from him and another guy, cabin cruisers, and we grounded the boats on the sand. We got off, and we were walking across the grass.
This is a Mercedes-built, big, beautiful Bavarian-style building that's for sale for $40 million now.
Right, and we were walking across the grass, and the boat captain comes goose-stepping past me with his right arm in the air and caught me by surprise. He says, "What the hell are you doing?" And he says, "I know who lives here." And he did the right arm in the air again and put his finger under his nose like a little mustache. I said, "Yeah, how do you know that?" He says, "I grew up here. My father was the caretaker. and I know who lived here. And with that, he went goose-stepping off back to his boat.
Now, you think, folks, how many of you listening would buy that a DVD documentary of that man being interviewed? I'll bet 75 or 80% of you without even batting an eye.
Well, I got to go down there with some good cameras then.
You need one good camera, one good shooter, and just do you can do your cutaway questions. Get two cameras set up, put one on a tripod, and then just edit back and forth. It's easy to do.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
All it takes is more time.
Yeah, well, he is, think of the amount of time that you would end up investing, planning, and trying to do something in Antarctica that you're not going to be allowed to do. You're just not. It's just not going to happen. I sent you a whole slew of pictures.
I know. I opened it while I was talking to you a while ago.
Yeah, and my video's at the top, and there's another video, the color picture, the color movies. But there's one picture of one of the openings down there with a man sitting on the ground in front of it. So you get a scale of this particular opening and how big it is. So those pictures are of interest. But I just think that we're going to see, honestly, with pictures like that, the original film, the documents that you have shown us tonight, about as much as we're going to see. We're just not going to see anymore.
Boy, I hate it when somebody tells me no. I hate it when somebody tells me you can't do that.
Only a friend will tell you no. Remember that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm just saying that I've got another video of the most bizarre concrete circles that you can imagine. I'll send those over to you. I've got them on my homepage for you folks who want to see them. They're on the right, in the right column. And if you go down and you scroll down below the amazing programs with William Tompkins, and then I have Clark McClellan's last 10 or 12 programs up there as well. Herbert Dorsey, Jim Oglesby. Right below Jim Oglesby, you'll find astonishing secret German World War II technology. And there are four videos under that. The fourth one is mysterious German World War II concrete rings. And I'll send that to Harry now, too. These are very mysterious, very strange. I don't know what they are. But you all can take a look at them. It's not a video. I shouldn't say video. It's photos, color pictures. And the Soviets kept these sites off limits for over 60 years. And you tell me why. And you look at these weird things, and they're underwater now. But you can see them clearly. What the hell are they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're strange. So anyway, mysteries. There's so many mysteries that remain to be looked at in Europe and South America. You got to review this very carefully. They're watching. They're listening to everything we're saying right now. They don't want you to go down there nosing around. They've got stuff going on down there. I'm not saying you're going to find anything they're doing, but it's a very closed shop. That's the feeling I got from all the
research. If I come up with my $1.5 million, I'm going, and I'll find stuff. Hopefully I don't get shot, but if I come up with $1.5 million, I'll be down there.
Yeah, I know you will. I know. I'm just saying there's honor in not doing it if it doesn't work. It's fine, because you've got so many.
Well, if
we
don't come up with $1.5 million, it's a non-starter.
Yeah, understood. Understood. Okay, well, I'm going to send you this collection of pictures of these mysterious World War II German concrete circles ring. They look like UFOs, but they're not.
Huh.
It's very strange stuff. Okay, so next trip coming up is when? What's your next scheduled trip?
September, October. This is our Southern Patrol, which we do every year. We go down for a couple of days in Munich, visiting the old buildings, and we go to Nuremberg and we visit the old party rally grounds. We go places where nobody else can go, inside the party rally building, inside and underground into bunker systems. A friend of ours is the assistant to the Lord Mayor there, and he's got all the keys. Then we go way, way south into southern Austria, where we are at a memorial.
It's a very special event.
Where they remember everyone who fell.
Yep. All right. My friend, go to sleep. Thank you. Great program. Wonderful stuff, as always. And we'll do it again next month.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Good night, Harry.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Harry Cooper. There he goes. Sharkhunters.com. Remember, you can join and pick the book of your choice. No problem at all. Okay? All right. We will be back. Gosh, it's Friday night. Another week gone. We'll be back live on Monday, but the best of is Sunday on the Rents Radio Network around the clock for you all the time. And if any of you have programs that you do and would like to consider joining the network, you think you have the right attitude, so to speak, we don't play games here, we can go after the truth, you know, send me an email. Send James an email at webmaster. Actually, it's rentswebmaster@gmail.com. And let him know. We'll take a look at your program. Maybe we'll add you. We're looking for a couple of really good programs. rentswebmaster@gmail.com. Thank you. Take care. Have a great weekend. And you are appreciated.